Hello, brethren. Here we are at the Feast of Tabernacles in 2022. And we live in such a chaotic time. The world's just in total chaos, it seems. But today I want to talk to you about God's timing. Now, we started out this year facing a difficult situation. Our daughter was expecting at any time, and she had already gone past the due date by almost 2 weeks, I believe. And she did have some intense labor pains a few days before the end of the year, and we really thought the baby was coming, but then it all stopped. And if the baby didn't come soon, now she was going to have to go to the hospital to have labor induced. So anyway, it seems kind of like we're in a similar situation or place in God's church right now. Let's turn to Isaiah 66 and verse 9 and read what God has to say to us concerning Zion, the church, and the birth. And Isaiah 66 verse 9 says, "Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God?" Sometime this spring, I've been thinking about this verse. So when I was asked if I'd give a message at the feast, I already knew my subject, but I didn't know quite how this would all come together. Then on July 23rd of this summer, we heard a sermon by Ian Henderson titled, "Our Perception of Time." In it, he said, "The timing of prophecy often takes much longer to develop than we thought it should, but once things began, they develop faster than we anticipate." Then the next week, in the news review, he said, "Russia invades the Ukraine. Chaos and fear spread throughout Europe. Are we now witnessing the rise of the Reich? It's all down to timing. Things we expect to happen often take much longer to develop than we think they should, but once they begin to occur, they develop much faster than we anticipate. For around 88 years, the warning of the revival of the Holy Roman Empire has gone out, but it still hasn't happened." Let's read Isaiah 66 verse 9 again. And God says, "Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God?" I think God is a bit like a midwife. He's coaching us along in these difficult times we find ourselves in. The world seems to be falling apart, yet he is there on his throne, totally in control, telling us, "I will deliver you." Our daughter did deliver a baby girl on January the 3rd. She's been growing, and so quickly it seems. She's about ready to walk now. I'd like to read the last page of The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like booklet, because it talks about a birth as well. Mr. Armstrong says, "Jesus said no one could see or enter into the kingdom of God until he is born of God." That's John 3, verse 3 to 5. He made plain, when one is born of God, he, just as God is, will be spirit. We have now, as humans, been born of flesh, and therefore we are flesh. But God is spirit, John 4:24. And when we are born of God, of the Spirit, we shall be spirit, John 6, or 3, verse 6 to 8. Now we are earthy of the earth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48. We are flesh and blood from the earth, from matter, verse 50. Yet flesh and blood humans cannot inherit the kingdom of God, in the same verse. But we have borne the image of the earthy, mortal human. We shall, when born of God, bear the image of the heavenly, that is, spirit, verse 49. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren, Romans 8:29, and Colossians 1:18, who shall be born of God by a resurrection, John 5:25-29, 6 verse 39, and verse 40 and 44 as well. Christ, the King of Kings, perfect in character, absolute honesty, integrity, faithfulness, loyalty, and trust, filled with outgoing concern for the governed, their welfare and salvation, total knowledge, understanding, wisdom, complete love, mercy, patience, kindness, forgiveness, yet possessing total power and never compromising one millionth of an inch with his perfect law, which is the way of love. He will enforce God's law, God's government on earth. He will compel haughty, carnal, rebellious humans to yield in complete submission to God's government. And I might interject here, when you read these words, you just think that's describing this world today so perfectly, isn't it? Now I'll continue. No one will be deceived, as the vast majority of mankind is today. All will know the truth. No more religious confusion. Eyes will be opened to the truth. Humans will become teachable. People will start living God's way, the way of outgoing concern for others, the way of true values, the way of peace, of happiness, of well-being, of joy. Crime, sickness, disease, pain, and suffering gone. Poverty, ignorance banished. Smiles on people's faces. Faces that are radiant. Wild animals tame. Air pollution, water pollution, soil pollution gone. Crystal pure water to drink. Clear, crisp, pure air to breathe. Rich black soil where deserts, mountains, and seas formerly were. Producing full-flavored food and fantastic beauty in flowers, shrubs, trees, a world filled with happy, radiant humans guided, helped, protected, and ruled by former mortals made immortal, and all the humans realizing that they too may inherit everlasting life in supreme happiness and thrilling joy with a fabulous, what a fabulous picture. Brethren, that's what I'd like to leave you with at this feast. We can have a wonderful picture of the world tomorrow and what it will be like in our part in that. I think God is just trying to encourage us to stay the course, to stick with it. He's going to deliver. We just have to stick to it and do our part. And we can be there and enjoy what a wonderful world it will be like.